And welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our impacts upon it. I'm Claire Wiley, and today I'm happy to say that we get to hang out with the team members from Swanner Preserve and Eco Center. It's a busy time at Swanner, and Director of Visitor Experience and Exhibits, Hunter Klingensmith, as well as Conservation Director, Reed Cohn, are going to be joining the show, and they're going to share more about their latest exhibit, Life on the Edge, and we'll get the scoop on some upcoming educational events, including a ski with a scientist and the moose next door. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, there's so much going on at Swanner Preserve, first of all. So I wanted to talk to you all about all the happenings there and just the preserve in and of itself as well. I know most people here are familiar with Swanner, but not everyone is. And so it's nice to bring everyone along for the ride and let them know everything that is happening in our community. And also, I think it's great how you got started at the preserve. So we're going to learn more about the two of you. So why don't we start there? First, with a 411 about the Swanner Preserve and Eco Center. Who wants to take that?
Okay.
Hunter, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. So the Swanner Preserve and Eco Center is a 1,200-acre nature preserve. We're located in Kimball Junction. If you haven't been to us before, if you're driving along 224 out of town headed towards I-80, we're on the right-hand side. There's a white barn and a big open field. That's all part of the Swanner Preserve. And that's all permanently protected habitat, mostly wetlands, but we also have some upland on the other side if you've been to the Spring Creek Trailhead. And then we have a 10,000-square-foot nature center as well, right by Maxwell's Pizza at the back of the plaza in New Park, and we have exhibits in there, ways to learn about nature. We lead guided tours from there. We do field trips and summer camps and all kinds of fun things out of that space as well.
Yeah, what I love about Swanner is it really does cover the breadth of programming, but also for all ages. I know a lot of my friends who have young kids, it's like a 100% go-to for them because there's so many activities, there's so much hands-on, and it's very tactile. It gets your whole senses actually involved. And then also as an adult, I know I've walked the grounds with you all, and I have loved getting to know what's happening in my area or just the history of it and what is happening with our waterways. And you bring such a breadth of information about even a sense of place here in the Wasatch Back.
Yeah, that's definitely one of our goals, is to bring this nature connection piece and how can people be connected in with the land in whatever way makes sense for them, and whether that's volunteering to help, you know, with RIA to help control invasive species, or just coming and spending time with us at the Nature Center. We want it to be for everyone, and so anything we can do to make it a comfortable place for everyone to be is important to us.
Yeah, and I want to get to know the two of you a little bit more. Hunter, I've known you for years at the Swanner. How long have you been there?
Yeah, I started in 2014 as a conservation intern. A bunch of our staff have started as interns, and I'm sure Rhea will talk about that as well. And then managed to be able to stay on full time and become the Director of Visitor Experience and Exhibits. And I think my favorite thing about seeing all that time at Swanner is that when I started, I would just tell people that I worked at the Nature Center in Kimball, and they would be like, what, there's a Nature Center in Kimball? And now I can tell people that I work at Swanner, and they actually know what we are and where we are. And so it's been really fun to see, like, I think we saw about 5,000 people a year when I started, and we're up to about 15,000 at the
wow.
Eco Center. So it's been a big change. And we see even more people out on the trails and just on the preserve. So, yeah.
And what was it about Swanner? Why have you kept this longevity? I think it's so cool that you come in as an intern and you love this place so much that you continue just to move forward with it. What is it that you love the most? What feeds your soul about it?
Well, I love the opportunity to just spend time in nature and get to learn more about nature, but also it's our team. We have a really awesome staff at Swanner who are committed and fun to be around and full of creative ideas, and I think the staff really makes it possible to want to be there for as long as I have been.
And what was your background as a kid? Were you always just the kid that wanted to be outdoors? And then did you go on to study this? What
yeah.
led you into this field?
I grew up in rural Pennsylvania and spent a lot of time outside. I don't know that I like, my parents were like, we're going to do things outside. We're going on hikes. We're going to be outside. I don't know that I loved it as much then. And then I went to school for architecture, actually, in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I really missed all my outside time. And so I ended up leaving there and moving to Utah and going to the University of Utah and getting an environmental science degree. And then from there, you know, started working at Swanner and just have really, I love the opportunity to help people connect with nature. I think that's like my favorite part of my job, and not something I knew that I would love, but I really do love it.
I can see that joy and connection for you when you see kids out there, or when you have even a cleanup event and the community comes out and you get to connect them with an understanding of what is happening in our landscape, why it's important, what kind of species are there. I think it draws people to care more about how they take care of the environment. Rhea, you're up.
Yeah.
You're up to bat. What led you to this Swanner Preserve and Eco Center?
Yeah, like Hunter, I started as a conservation and outreach intern in 2017. So I've been at Swanner for almost 9 years coming up this year. And I grew up in Park City and had visited Swanner as a kid, maybe when the Eco Center opened when I was a little bit older. Always loved nature. I mean, hiking, skiing, getting outside in both Park City and Oakley, where I spent a lot of my childhood connecting with nature. And so in college, I studied ecology at the University of Utah, which was really a powder skiing-led decision. And
many people can say that. No shame in that.
No shame in that. Got a lot of good skiing in. And that really led me to Swanner post-graduation, kind of learning about ecology, different kinds of jobs out there. I started the internship kind of like, this sounds really interesting, and have just really fallen in love, especially that kind of reconnection with Park City. I have just learned so much about our community and our ecosystem through this role that I didn't know growing up. And it just is that super deep connection for me of, this is my home ecosystem, seeing people that I grew up with, getting to connect with them in new ways, connecting them to the preserve is really, really special.
Yeah. When you hear the word conservation, because that's in your title, Director of Conservation, when you hear that, what does that mean to you? What is drummed up in your mind's eye when you think about conservation? Why does it matter?
Yeah. Preserving natural resources, just as we are, I've seen so many changes just in my short lifetime with snowpack, conserving water, natural resources, ecosystems, native plants, things like that. These are super precious resources. So conserving them for other biodiversity, for the next generation of environmental stewards, that is really what conservation means to me. So it's both the natural resources and connecting people with them. Why are they important? Mm-hmm. Why do we care about them? And what can we do to preserve them?
Absolutely. So there is a new exhibit, and this is the other thing about Swanner Preserve and Eco Center. There's always something new. There's always a rotating exhibit. You can always learn more, and it feels like it's ever evolving, and it's just fresh, and there are so many great ideas that are coming out of Swanner Preserve. Tell me about Life on the Edge. What is that all about? This is the new exhibit.
Yeah, so this is our new traveling exhibit. We've been bringing in traveling exhibits since, I think, the year that I started at Swanner. We did our first one, which was about mountain lions, which really opened up the world to us of, like, we could bring in all of these changing things and new opportunities for learning and interaction and learning through play. And we want to make sure that we're bringing in things that are fun for all ages. So some of our exhibits are geared towards littles. Some of them are geared more towards adults. But right now we have Life on the Edge, which is a traveling exhibition. It was built by the Science Center in New York. And it's all about extreme environments on Earth and how we use those, or scientists and researchers use those, to understand possibilities for life in space. And one really cool connection, one reason we were excited about bringing this exhibit, is that some of that work actually takes place at the Great Salt Lake. So there are astrobiologists, Bonnie Baxter is one of them,
right,
who is studying gypsum in the Great Salt Lake and looking for how there might be life within those gypsum crystals and the potential that we might find a very similar thing on Mars. And so the Perseverance rover is taking collections on Mars, and eventually those will come back to Earth, and we'll be able to study and see if there's similar life forms there. So the exhibit has a bunch of different interactives. You can look at a microbial colony inside of a Winogradsky column, which is basically a long, clear tube that's filled with mud or soil from a location. They have one from New York and I believe one from somewhere on the coast. And you can use a microscope to look at that and see if you can find the microbes living in there. So there are all these great extreme environments on Earth that we can explore. You can also look at, learn a little bit about spectroscopy and how we use these light rays to identify what gases planets are made up of. And our favorite thing in the exhibit is you can code a Mars rover. So there's a big carpet with a little Mars rover on it, and then a coding table where you have to put in different sequences of tiles to get the rover to go and look for life in different places on the carpet. And that one is super fun. And then you can also, there's a bunch of like these fun wood block shapes to build creatures for extreme environments. So you can pick a habitat and then try to build a creature that you think would survive in it. We've also added some fun dress up options. So for the kiddos, if they want to dress like one of the scientists that might be studying these kind of things, like all kinds of dress up and tools to explore with. And then you can also draw or add your own critter to one of these extreme environments as an activity too.
Wow, so it sounds like you're marrying sciences with creativity as well. And then also coding is really interesting to me because obviously raising a lot of digital natives out there and coding, I mean, I think is such a beautiful way to get that mind to start to click.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch kids code the rover because I think like our staff who didn't grow up coding in school, when we were trying to figure out how to use it, when we were setting up the exhibit, we were like, why isn't it working? Why isn't it? And then someone was finally like, well, you have to use the function and put it in here and do this. But kids who have been doing it in school forever are just like, they just come in there, no problem. They can code the rover. Like, they've got it, which is really fun to see them bringing that, like, school experience in with how are we learning about our natural environment and environments outside of our solar system. So yeah, we have been looking at this exhibit for a long time. We also love, our goal for the last like 8 years has been to make sure that all of our exhibits are available in English and Spanish. And a lot of times that means us having a translator. We usually use Fanny Blauer, who is wonderful, to translate all of the text and then get it added into the exhibit.
Oh, that's great.
But this one actually came in English and Spanish already, which is really fun too, because it's integrated into the experience. And I think it provides a much better experience if you're trying to, if you're interacting with it in Spanish.
Yeah, that is so great. I did notice that it was a dual language, which I think is amazing. And this sounds so fun. And again, it sounds like it's for all ages.
Yeah. It's really fun as an adult to go through. There's some reading opportunities, but I think it's equally as fun for adults to code the rover or use the microscopes as it is for kiddos. And that's one of our goals with these exhibits. How can we make it fun for littles, but also fun for adults at
right.
the same time?
Do you have a favorite exhibit that's come through each of you that you can remember that sits with you?
I mean, the live animal exhibits.
Yeah.
I think the community feels that as well. The sloth is always, we hear about the sloth. That was pretty special, having live animals.
Yeah, we had one in, I think, 2017. We had a porcupine. His name was Quilbur. And that was one of the...
Oh, Quilbur.
Yeah.
That is so good.
He was so cute. And there was a little armadillo in that exhibit. And I think that was probably my favorite, but also I drank the most coffee during that time because having live animals is actually a lot of work, even though they sent someone to take care of them. So we will hopefully bring back another live animal exhibit. It's just like that one, they're a lot more expensive. Taking care of the animals is a whole different undertaking, but it is really cool to get those interactions. And the company we've been getting those live animal exhibits from, both of them are generally rescue animals. So most of them have been either they're an illegal pet that you're not allowed to have, and so they're all really great at interacting with people. So I would say those have been some of our favorites. But anything that's super interactive, like we had the mini golf exhibit, and that was really fun.
Oh, yeah,
fun.
I remember that.
Like environmental impacts and mini golf.
Nice.
And then the most recent one that we had was a maze about butterflies, and I loved that too. So we're really aiming to bring in things at least once a year that are super hands-on opportunities to learn through engagement and play.
Yes, and speaking of live animals, one of your events that's coming up is talking about an animal that we are all very familiar with here in the Wasatch Back. Many of us have had encounters with moose, and if you're out there on the trails, there's proper ways to behave, there's proper things to do, but we all at some point or another probably run into a moose. Can you tell me about this event that's coming up and what people can learn from that?
Yeah, so we have a webinar, The Moose Next Door, that we'll be hosting on Tuesday, February 24th at 6 p.m. with Dr. David Stoner, who is an associate professor at USU. And this really came from questions that we get about moose safety. One of our neighbors across the way in Sun Peak really spurred this event and kind of inspired it. So thanks, Dana, if you're listening. And I think that's one special thing about being in Park City is the proximity that we have to wildlife. Mm-hmm. We're on the wildland urban interface. We get these really, really special interactions where we are seeing wildlife. It's why visitors love coming here. It's what makes living here so special. And so we want to keep ourselves safe around moose and then also keep wildlife safe as well. That is the goal. So this webinar will be all about just about moose. I think people have a lot of questions about how long do they live? How many babies do they have? And we get a lot of questions about that. So hoping to address that as well as moose safety. So they are large animals. Some of the largest animals that people are going to see, unless you're getting close to an elk in our area, and they can be pretty dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I think people don't tend to think of them as dangerous because they're herbivores. They eat plants. They're kind of, you see them chewing off to the side, but they can run up to 35 miles an hour and get really, really large. And they can be pretty territorial if it is the rut in the fall. So when they're breeding, the males can be more aggressive. Or in the spring and early summer, when cows have calves, they can also be aggressive. So I like to say my favorite, I call it the rule of thumb. And it's like you hold your arm stretched out. I know we're on the radio, but picture it. You hold your arm out, you put your thumb up like you're hitchhiking, and you want to be able to cover that animal completely with your thumb. You're far enough away.
Oh, that's a great visual.
If it's poking out behind your thumb, you should get farther away. So just the most important thing is giving wildlife space. And I know that that's not always possible if you're on a trail and you come across a moose or something like that. We've had encounters or walking down Main Street or something like that. You come out of a store or I've come out of my front door and there's a moose right there before.
Right.
Or on the preserve and they're in the willows. And so we want to keep moose safe and keep people safe. And so this webinar, it's free. You will need to register to get the Zoom link, but that is on our website, SwannerEcoCenter.org. And then it will also be posted to our YouTube in the week after, so you can check it out on there as well.
Yeah, I like that visual of if your thumb doesn't cover it, because that makes a lot of sense. And you're right, sometimes you turn a corner, you're on a mountain bike, you don't realize they're there, but there are protocols, and it is really important to keep the animals safe as well.
Yeah.
Right? Because you keeping them safe and staying away from them is really helping to preserve them as well.
Yeah, we want to keep moose around. They're really just amazing animals to watch, and keeping people safe is number one priority, keeping ourselves safe. So my favorite kind of things to do, just being aware of your surroundings, mm-hmm. as well. If you're hiking or biking, if you're on a bike and you're going fast, or skis, being aware of your surroundings, listening, observing, especially on a trail where maybe there's been moose sightings before, or staying up to date with mountain trails or other news outlets like KPCW sometimes post when there's been wildlife sightings in an area.
Right.
Being aware is really, really important, so you can be prepared and know that that's a possibility.
I have seen on my window in the world here, we see Quitten Time, and I have seen moose run across there with skiers coming down. And a couple weeks ago, I was driving home. It was night, and I thought, what is that? And it was a moose running down Bonanza.
Yeah.
So they are not just out there in the wild. They are in our everyday lives. So keeping them safe and keeping yourself safe is really important. So this, again, is a webinar that takes place
Tuesday, February 24th, 6 p.m. So that more information is on our website. You can register. If you watch live, then there'll be a Q&A, and you can get your questions answered. And we hope to see more folks there.
Yeah, and then you also have another really cool one coming up. Tell us about the Ski with a Scientist. This sounds really fun.
Yeah. So this one stemmed from a partnership. We love partnerships. We feel like all of our organizations in town are just like such a wonderful way to reach a broader audience, to work with people who have similar goals as us. So we partnered with the Alfingen Ski Museum back in the fall to create an exhibit that's up at the Park City Visitor Center in Kimball. And it's all about climate change and our ski resorts and our snow and what we're seeing as the climate changes. And so there's information about why we have this perfect powder here in Utah, and we're known for that. We work through a couple of studies from Utah State University that are about ski resorts and climate change that talks about, you know, why are we seeing a change in climate? What are we doing to try to work with it? And so as part of that partnership, we're also hosting an event at the Alfingen Ski Museum and the Utah Olympic Park. That's a Ski with a Scientist event. So we'll have Dr. Scott Hodeling, who's a professor in watershed sciences. He studies global change biology at high altitudes, and he does some really cool work with undergrad students doing the climate adaptation internship program. And so he's going to ski with us uphill. Hopefully we get some more snow this week so that we can ski uphill. And then we'll have time to hang out at the museum and hang out with Scott and hear a little bit about the changes he's seeing and the work he's doing. One of my favorite things that he talks about are rock glaciers. If you have not heard of rock glaciers, you should look them up, because it is like the coolest way that water is being stored in our mountains that most of us don't even know about. So an opportunity to kind of just get together. We'll probably have some pizza and some refreshments and just have a chance to hang out with the scientists and do a little bit of skiing with them, which is fun.
That sounds incredible. So there is always so many things going on at Swanner Preserve and Eco Center. You can go there at any given moment and learn something new, take something in, and you also have special hikes, I know, out on the property itself for people to get involved with. What's your website?
SwannerEcoCenter.org. And then our email newsletter is a really great way to stay up to date. There's a newsletter sign up on our homepage of our website. That goes out about once a month. It's got all the events, all the things that are going on, updates on the preserve. Also following our social media on Facebook and Instagram, we post a lot of updates of what's coming up and what we're seeing out there.
I'm going to give a shout out to our office manager, Emma, who just got a new web calendar up for us, too. That's way prettier than our old one. That's one of our most visited pages. So definitely check out the calendar page, too. And you can actually sort by program. So if you're looking for things to do with your family, like we have a family day coming up on February 22nd in partnership with the Kimball Arts Center, you can select family programs or you can select adult programs or whatever you're looking for and be able to sort in that way, too, which is really nice.
Oh, that's great. So get on that calendar and get out to Swanner Preserve and Eco Center and learn something new. Thank you so much to Director of Visitor Experience and Exhibits Hunter Klingensmith and Conservation Director Rhea Cohn from Swanner Preserve and Eco Center for coming on this Green Earth today.
Thanks, Claire.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.